Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to go on a sacred journey, a sacred journey of the heart. And to do that, we're going to interview the creator of a wonderful film called Sacred Journey of the Heart and understand the dynamic qualities that our heart gives us in life. And this film is so good at demonstrating. And to talk about that is the creator of Sacred Journey of the Heart, Rana Prince. Rana, welcome to Energy Stew.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure. It's so great that we can talk about this dynamic film that was very dynamic in your life. When you started this project, you weren't really ready for it.
Well, Peter, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, which is what happens a lot of times in the creative process. I didn't know anything about filmmaking or marketing of a film, and there was a couple things I didn't even know about myself. And so I had a lot of really wonderful learning experiences, some so easy and some not, in the process of making this film.
Yes, and you show that in the film. There's a whole segment near the beginning where we can see how you appeared before you went through some, let's call it cleansing in yourself of the past, and to bring you more into the presence of your own heart. And then there's a before and an after.
They say a picture speaks a thousand words, and it really does, because I was heading one direction, or so I thought, with the film, and I was only going to appear as a so-called expert, and I was there on camera talking about love and connection, looking like a deer in the headlights sort of thing. The only thing moving was my mouth, you know, and so that started coming back from the editor, and I was looking at that going, oh my gosh, I can't be in this movie, I can't, you know. And it was originally intended to be something that kind of promoted my work, just a promotional, so small, promotional small film, and then it evolved into something much bigger as I was led into deeper into my own heart's experience of what was buried inside there, and ended up telling a lot more of my personal experiences in the film itself.
Right, and you bring a lot of experts into it who are familiar with the power of the heart. And I'd like to talk a lot about that with you, is why we should really, I mean, we know the heart is important, love is important, but what is it about our lives that's reflected through our heart that really is where we need to pay our attention and do our cleansing?
Well, if you consider times in your life where you've really been searching for what direction to go, and if you're spiritual, you might engage in prayer and in meditative process, but if you're just talking to your friends or looking, how do I resolve this? You'll, like, go with your heart, you know, what is your heart telling you? And that is a real key into why it's important to really learn and become more informed and educated about the power of the heart, because we've had those colloquialisms, but we haven't exactly had the reason why we intuitively say those things. And what we present in the film is exactly what is so powerful about the heart and what benefits us to learn how to work with the innate power of the heart that every single person has access to.
And then there are parts of your film that are dedicated to the science of the heart to show what we're talking about in the way the heart works energetically in the system, in our bodies, and in our whole energy field.
It was really important for me to bring the scientific aspect into it, because originally I was just going to do a metaphysical type of film, you know, relying on the fact that we know intuitively, spiritually, that we're all connected, and my premise was that we're connected in the heart and through the energy of compassion and love. And then I found myself at the Institute of Heart Math on Greg Braden's recommendation that we go out and interview them in front of their lead research scientist, Roland McCrady, and he was on camera, I'm behind the camera, and he's just sitting here telling me fact after fact after fact that I really didn't know what that, the depth of experience that confirmed everything that I intuitively felt and knew. So you can actually hear, if you listen carefully, I shouldn't say it, but on the soundtrack, you can hear me going, oh wow, my editor's going, we can't edit that out, that's in the soundtrack, there's no way. So I thought, well, you know, it's good, because it is for a lot of people that see the film, either, you know, streaming at home or in the theater, they have the same reaction. But I didn't know that the heart was this powerful and did all this stuff much more than the circulatory system. So it was an important piece of information that brought the film to kind of connect everything together.
And let's talk a little bit about that. There's a word mentioned in your film called neurocardiology.
Right, Dr. McCrady talks about that, and it's a whole field of study that's developed in the last, I don't know, couple of decades, because come to understand that the heart has a brain and its own intrinsic nervous system, and the heart has short-term and long-term memory. So people have heard, maybe you're not, that patients that have heart transplants will have memories of the person they came from. And so this is not, you know, some sort of a spiritual thing. It's scientific proof. And so while we don't get into that in the film, we do talk about the fact that the heart's intrinsic nervous system actually that sends information from the two vagus nerves from the heart to the brain, that 80% to 90% of that information that goes up in a type of a nerve called the afferent nerve. So they definitely know where that nerve signal originates from. It originates 80% to 90% of those signals from the heart to tell the brain what to do. And like Dr. McCray says, it's not even a close call. And we've been under the impression that our brain is where, you know, the things are originating that thought or signals into the body originate, and that's not even it. And that causes a lot of whispering in the audience of a film or people going, I didn't know that. I need to know that stuff now so we can learn to regulate the power in our heart.
It's amazing how ignorant science is about how we work.
At the airport next to a newly minted MD, and I didn't know he was an MD, and he was asking me what I did and who I was, and I told him all about this film about the heart, and he said, well, what'd you find out? And I told him about the neurocardiology and this fact I just shared, and that the heart excretes its own hormones and is part of the endocrine system, and he's like, they didn't teach me that in medical school. And he just graduated as an MD. And wow, they're not teaching it yet in medical school, and yet we know it. HeartMath knows it, and we're sharing it with the public.
Right, and the heart actually has neurotransmitters.
It does.
And yet, what you talked about earlier is something we really have to understand about how our body holds us in terms of, for instance, if people have a heart transplant, they actually, what is also transplanted into them is information of the other person's life and behaviors and feelings that they have that the person who received the heart hadn't had before.
I read about that, and like I said, we don't go into it in the film, but I find it fascinating, you know, how that goes into, you know, kind of non-locality and some quantum physics, that you can take the person's cell out of their mouth and take it 10 miles away, stress the person, and they see a stress reaction in the cell. So it's non-local, a connection between the energy that is the essential makeup of who we are, which is much more than the brain and the heart combined. It's the non-local connection with just consciousness itself.
Right. And one of the things that you talk about in the film is feelings versus thought. And so what you're just talking about is that something can happen that your mind has no awareness of, and yet cells in your body are picking it up.
Yes, it's really, you know, being proven all the time. And again, they're not teaching us that, and they're not teaching kids in school. I've got three kids in school right now, and eighth grade and above, and they don't know this stuff. And I think it's not really the feelings versus the thoughts, but there's so much misinformation that people have thought that we create our reality from our thoughts. My contribution in this film was to give people some new information that says really feeling is just very simple to understand this, that feeling comes way before thought. Just look at an infant or a baby. They're not having a lot of thoughts, but they sure as heck know how they feel if they're unhappy. They know how they sense and what they feel in their emotions.
Right.
And it's clear to me that feelings are first before thought, and then thought just explains a lot of the way that we feel.
Well, feelings can be very sophisticated, and there are people who do hypnotic regressions and will take you back into your early childhood, 1 year old, 2 years old. That age, when you regress back to it, you'll know everything that's going on around you and who's doing what to whom. And yet your mind wasn't sophisticated at all at that point.
And we'd like to point out, as we do in the film, that we really are connected through the electromagnetic field in the human heart, not by the field in the brain. They can measure the magnetic field of the human heart 8 to 10 feet and sometimes further away with instrumentations called magnetometers. And so they realize that, and these signals have encoded information about the state of our emotion. And so the scientists are realizing, you know, there's proof that we really do know how we feel. When someone enters the room, and if you're aware of it and you've tapped into it, and on a conscious level, you'll know how that person feels. But most of us don't have that training, so we're just subconsciously aware, and we may have a little kind of like feeling of, oh, what happened? Something just happened. We don't really notice it, but there really is encoded signals directly from our heart about the state of our emotions that are going out into the field all the time, just this constant, continual broadcast.
And your kids in school aren't being taught this? What's the matter?
School is not catching up with science very fast. That's a different topic. I go on about how slow it takes the curriculum to adjust to the new science, and Greg Braden talks about that too in his work Deep Truth. But yeah, they don't get this. They're still on Darwinian evolution, which is quite faulty.
Right. This film is really important to show us where our truth comes from, where our truth lies in terms of creating our life.
Well, it is. You know, we talk about go with your heart, and if kids are learning in school, when they get in there about five, they're learning to shut down their heart because they're punished for their feelings and they're rewarded for their thoughts and their ability to repeat things, especially boys in school. And I've got three boys and a girl. They're punished. If they're, especially boys, you know, if they get emotional or if they are feeling like they need to move around. So it's a really important film for parents to watch, so that they have an understanding of how important it is to raise your children with heart intelligence.
Yes, we learn it as we grow older.
We have to relearn it.
Right, we have to rework all the information we were taught as children. And so it's important to appreciate this journey that we are on, and who we are, and in a sense to be able to forgive it. And you do talk about that in the film.
Well, that was a big turning point for myself, because I talk about the childhood abuse I experienced from 3 to 13 as a little girl, and I had thought I had healed all of that and had gone through lots of different therapies over 15 years and all kinds of alphabet soup of things, you know, including metaphysical stuff, but very solid therapies like EMDR, eye movement therapy, and EFT, tapping, and I, when I saw myself on camera, I said, there's something I still need to learn, know, release, let go, and that's when I met Colin Tipping and became familiar with the process of radical forgiveness, which really allowed me to make that powerful transition that you see in the first 2 minutes of the film, the before and after.
Right. And the forgiveness works at a deep level, and the film actually goes into a lot of understanding about forgiveness and where we have to take it in order to forgive properly.
I really wanted to spend a lot of time on that, because so many people are burdened by lack of forgiveness, or in my case, old resentment. And I had thought, you know, I'd gotten over it. And so I would find myself saying, past is in the past, and it's all good now, or it was written all over my face, it was not good. And it was reflecting, as it would, in out in my life in a certain couple places, like having employees trying to work for me. It was very challenging, because I had a belief system underneath there that people just aren't going to do what they say they're going to do. And so by, you know, the law of attraction, I would draw people to me where that would happen. I was proving myself right over and over again. And so until I really went into the place where I embraced this deep place of forgiveness and expressing the unexpressed emotion about what happened when I was that young, I really was, you know, things were not going to change. They weren't going to go in a different direction for me. But now I'm happy to say that they have.
Well, some of that is forgiving the people who are abusive. But there's so much of it about forgiving ourselves.
That's a big piece of it. And I know when I first met Colin, I went to do his workshop because I knew that was the place to go. Walked in a little bit late, and Colin said, well, Rana, who are you here to forgive? And I said, well, I'm here to forgive myself. That's ultimately what it's about. And he said, nope, that's another workshop. And he goes, that's where most people want to go. But you learn so much more about the projections of your own in the world when you work first through other people, and then you finally can work your way into yourself. And so I took his advice and did it that way. And then I got to radical self-forgiveness, which Colin also teaches and has a book by that name.
I think what it is that you're holding so much resentment, anger towards others that has to be released first before you can see yourself as even a victim. Which you, I mean, not that you wouldn't see that first. It's one of the first things you see, is that you're a victim. But then you find that you're also a perpetrator.
Right. That's where the real interesting work starts, when you realize there's two sides to every polarity. I think you're probably the first person that has brought that up, and it is so true. You know, I consider that to be pretty high level of consciousness, because there's so many people that will come and say, I've been, all these things happened in a past life, I was beheaded. I was like, well, let's see if what else you got in there, because if we've been and done all things, really need to look at the places where we have also been participants in the other side. You know, most of us not very extreme.
But we can go back to where we actually chose the lifetime for a higher purpose and chose the suffering for a higher purpose.
Right.
And so we actually picked the abuse.
Yep, that's what the radical part is all about, and many people are not quite there and have a difficult time in understanding that. When I say in the film, I know that my soul chose this for its growth and healing, and so if I chose it, that means I had to ask someone spiritually, will you be the person that allows me to learn the lesson. And that's the part that a lot of people have a hard time grasping, and that's where the radical part comes in, because I fundamentally believe that I asked for that early life experience so that I could do what I do today and affect the lives of many people. And if someone hadn't agreed to be my perpetrator, I wouldn't have learned what I've learned to share what I share now.
And doesn't that create a lot of clarity and self-empowerment?
It does. It certainly does for me, and I know that people will just move into that awareness when it's time. Some people never. Some people have a lot of secondary gain and benefit out of staying a victim. And if you ask someone who's still living their life out as a victim, they won't want to agree with you. No, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm still attracting partnerships where that are degrading, or, you know, being underpaid is for the work that I do. No, I'm not choosing that. Okay, well, that just means that's your dance for as long as it takes for you to decide you are truly worthy of, you know, all the best that life has to offer. And until you resonate at that level, you'll still get the victim experience.
It's really hard to hold the truth of where we come from and why we come from there, why we come into life, and the reasons why we pick such suffering.
No, it takes a lot of work. It's like an excavation, you know. So I say, it's like in a film, we go through three parts: dive in, tune in, and then lighten up. And you have to have the willingness to dive into there, because there's awareness that it's not easy work to do, and it isn't. There's different ways that I guide my own clients through it at their own pace. But the only way to get through to that place, you know, in my after presentation in the film, is to go through the things that were packed inside my heart, which was resentment and even deeper hatred towards what had happened, you know, towards the people that had done things to me. And I say it that way because now I say in my reformatted way that happened for me. But it is, you've got to have some willingness and some courage to do it, but the benefits far outweigh the risk of staying all tightly bound in the bed, as Anais Nin said.
Right. And so working at this level, which is what's so important about your film, The Sacred Journey of the Heart, is realizing how sacred our lives are in the whole story of our lives. It's all sacred. Everything is in divine order. We just don't think so.
Yes, we try to say this part of our life is good and this part is bad, and when you get to that real heart-centered place, you know, it just is. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but there are certain parts of our lives which are not working very well or that are painful, but it just really is, and it's wonderful. One of my favorite parts in the film is towards the end, where we have in Chapter 7, Tools and Teachings of the Heart, and Mary Morrissey, our narrator, tells the story in the film from a famous piece of literature that ends with, you know, I want to be the person who knows how wonderful life is while I am living it. Not until after I'm dead, but, you know, while I'm living it. Life is wonderful. And when I was all bound up in unresolved resentments and hatred, I couldn't experience that fullness of life. I was stuck, and I didn't even quite know it. I just knew a couple things weren't working very well. But I'm really happy that I went through this journey in making the film and learning what I learned.
I'm wondering how we can actually manage without being able to clear up the energy of the heart itself.
Well, we manage with sort of like what my co-producer, the chiropractor and MS clinical psychologist, says. It's like we manage with one or two legs of what's intended to be, at the very least, a three-legged stool. Or I say four-legged, you know, the body and the mind, the spirit and the heart. So we're managing, you know, from our emotions and heart are not managed. Usually our body's not functioning that well either. So we're trying to get by thinking our way through the solutions. And that's what the difference is today, is people are finding out they can't think their way through what's going on in their lives. They have to try something different, which is the feeling side, you know, mastering emotions, the emotional mastery, and coming up with the solutions that are heart-based for what's happening in our lives and in our world.
No, that's essential. It's amazing how many people are trying to think out their clarity and fix themselves through their minds. And the only thing the mind is good for is getting people to techniques and to other people who can help them.
Right. Yeah. Well, we can logic our way through certain things, like a math problem, you know, or, you know, we can learn a piece of music and all that. But it's just when it comes to, I think, making important decisions, what a lot of people don't realize is we have a feeling about where we want to go, and then we will rationalize and create a set of rationalizations based on what we want to do according to our feelings. And so that's why I say I think feelings come first. When you really learn how the heart's intuition, you quiet down the nervous system. There's specific techniques and tools taught right there in the film. Then you learn how to make decisions that are integrated, that are whole, that are really based on what is in your highest and best interest. And so we really teach that in the film. We don't have a lot of people talking about things, but we're giving people real tools that they can use to transform their lives.
Right. And there's a phrase in the film of dive in, tune in, lighten up.
Right.
And it's important to climb into it and tune in so that we can start reading what's going on in there, even how troublesome it might feel, and then address that through, perhaps through radical forgiveness, or, there are other people out there who are teaching forgiveness in different workshops. There was a show I did called Unconditional Forgiveness. So
yeah.
There are a lot of people who understand what it takes to forgive, and it's not just the idea of forgiveness. It actually, as you went through, you actually have to go through the feelings of all the complications of it, and how angry you are and upset, and then start doing the forgiveness around all different levels of it. There are other techniques, and you talked about some of them earlier that you used, and they didn't do enough, but they certainly got you on the path to take the next step. And you were talking about EMDR and EFT.
And a lot of those were based on the mind, on memories of things, and EMDR involves the body with eye movement and things, so it got me a certain part of the way, but until I really consciously processed the feeling, it didn't really create profound shift that it had when I involved it with Colin Tipping, the feelings, because he says you can't heal what you don't feel. And that was the difference. You know, I went through all types of really interesting metaphysical things, shamanism, soul retrieval, people working with pendulums, balancing my chakras. All of that was fine. It got me a certain distance. But what really made the difference is when I got in there and did the emotional work and letting go of what was stored inside. And like Colin Tipping said to me, you know, this is a fact, that if you don't deal with those pent-up emotions, they end up with usually incurable diseases in the body. And that was proven by a Harvard Medical School study. It's not just something that metaphysical people say.
No, actually, there's a medical system in France called Total Biology that has identified the psycho-emotional issue with each physical problem. And so all the diseases that we have are based on psychosomatic conditions.
I thoroughly believe that. You know, even if something as innocuous as a cold, you know, that's a sign that we need to slow down and take better care of ourselves. And because I don't believe in the germ theory, that's just a cultural overlay. It's the terrain, it's not the germ. You know, if you're stressed out and you come across a germ, you're going to get sick. If you're not, it doesn't do anything to your system. Your immune system takes care of it.
Or maybe we misidentify the purpose of these germs, and maybe they're there to help us.
You're right. Well, I agree with that, too.
Well, I'm glad that we understand each other. I knew we would, because your film is just so clear about the richness of life and our need to embrace it all and hold the wholeness of it and let our heart reflect the wholeness of everything in its divine order. But there's also something about the journey that we're on and be able to forgive ourselves, really, for taking on such a hero's journey, because it's a painful one, and yet it's what lights our light in the end.
It's really the only one worth taking, is to conquer that, to conquer those dragons, as Mary Morrissey says in the film, and to climb the mountains. And, you know, you look back and you say, it's a life well lived. It was rich and it was full, and I don't know too many people that just want to go lay around on the beach. They want to do something that matters, and, you know, living your life well through the ups and downs is what matters to me.
Right. I've always said that at the end of life, we're not supposed to look back and add up our achievements and give ourselves a score.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just supposed to look back and go, what a life!
Yeah, I heard a wonderful story, and just a lot of what I did, I ended up on an airplane next to John Voight, who's an Academy Award winning actor, and I was telling him about my film, and I asked him what he learned in over the course of his life, and he had met one of the women who had survived the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, one of the 25 Hiroshima maidens, and he told me the story about how she actually had a near-death experience, and she said, you know, all the stuff that you probably know and your listeners know about it. And he said, but at the end, when it was a moment for her to decide, the question was asked, have you learned all you came here to learn about love? And she told John Voight, you know, the answer, well, before the answer no even came in, she found herself back in her body, you know, nearly, you know, with her skin blown off and all kinds of stuff. And so always, you know, I love that story because I think that's what we're here for. Have we learned everything we came to learn about love? And that's about the heart. That's really not about the mind. And so I keep that in my consciousness and in my heart every single day. Am I learning what I came here to learn about love?
And I'm glad you heard that from John Voight. I feel connected with him because I knew his father. And shows how old I am.
But he just is a very dear-hearted man, and I felt fortunate to meet him and
that's good.
Share some time.
So this is so valuable to talk with you about who we truly are and what's important. And so I really want to encourage people to find your film, Sacred Journey of the Heart, and really hear it and see it. I was glad that I saw it twice, because the second time, it was even easier to read. The first time was wonderful. I was kind of in wonder and watching it and go, oh, that's cool, that's cool. But then the second time, I was actually able to identify with a lot of things and really process more in my own personal way.
Well, you know, when we played in theaters in Phoenix and we were held over for 4 weeks, which is an amazing accomplishment for an independent filmmaker who didn't know anything about film when she started. So we had people that were coming back 5 and 6 times into the theater when it wasn't available on DVD, so to take notes and to really take it in, and people said they learned something new every time. So while the film is available on DVD on our website, sacredjourneyoftheheart.com, and we've just started streaming it internationally, so you can stream it. You can only watch it for 48 hours. I still encourage people to get the DVD because it really is a film that you want to watch more than one time. So I appreciate that comment that you just made because that's what we're finding. There's so much information, and it's not just the information. There's a lot of feelings that happen. People watch the film and they say, something happened. I changed. I don't know what happened. Well, of course they don't, because it's a heart experience. It's not about their mind. And so there's really, at some level, there's no words for it. So, yeah, I'd say get the DVD and really take it in. If you want to change your life, it needs to start with some different concepts and a different way of being.
Well, the film shows us where to put our attention at that heart energy. And if we start reading and seeking to know our heart better and actually looking for the heart to talk to us, and so it's important to create that priority in life, and I think your film does that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that was one of my goals, and so I'm glad that you grasped it so thoroughly. There's some people who get one level, but there's others like you who really get what I was after, and I really enjoy talking to people like yourself who get the fullness of the message.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate the fact that you put so much of yourself into it, and that comes out, of course, right at the beginning where we can see the difference in you when you opened up your heart.
Yep, and that's what I think gives people an incentive, because if they're reluctant to do the heart work, just look at the benefits I experienced in my life. My whole energy shifted. You know, I lost weight. My skin tone changed. You know, I probably smell better, too. I don't know. Just having fun, but yeah, there's a big incentive. And payoff at this. Not that it's really about a payoff, but it's just people say, well, why about, you know, this is going to be hard. Well, guess what? When you get through some of that unpacking of the unexpressed emotion, there's so much more. There's more, you know, joy, there's more elation. You know, when I'm sad, I really feel it, but I don't try to change it. It's just more of being fully present and alive in this life that I've chosen.
Right. So, Rhonna Prince, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Peter. It's been fun to talk with a like-hearted person.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots of classes coming up, lots of opportunities to connect. So please get in touch, and thank you so much for listening.